everybody, to the Green Room Podcast, a special edition, a second Green Room Podcast this week, to discuss the ever-evolving situation with Michigan State basketball. A week ago, seemingly no chance for the NCAA tournament, and all of a sudden, here we are, and like clockwork, with March approaching, MSU has found themselves back in the discussion for possibly keeping that streak alive. I'm Tony Paul, joined by Matt Charbonneau. We are both having internet connections, so fingers crossed that we get through this. For those of you loyal followers who listened to our podcast earlier this week with Matt Ishbia, we had him on and to talk about, obviously, his generous donation to the university, but also to talk about Michigan State basketball, and he had this to say.
Six games to go in the regular season. They're making the tournament. Matt Ishbia says, right?
100%. Coach Izzo is making the tournament. They always
you've seen
the
schedule, right? You've seen the schedule.
I know who they're playing. I know who they're playing, and I know who they got on their team, and I know who's coaching the team. 100%. Izzo's making the tournament. They're going to make it. He does it every year. And they're going to, and I'm going to tell you right now, they'll make a run too. I believe in them. Those kids are hardworking. Langford's a winner. Hauser's a winner. Rocket Watts, Aaron Henry. These guys, they're working. You know, they got to get going. It's not like you don't just get given to make the NCAA tournament. We've done it 22 straight years. It's not a given. You got to work your butt off for it. And Izzo will have them doing that. It doesn't even cross my mind.
Which was followed by lots of laughing by me and Matthew, he said what he said because he's a loyal Spartan and he's always going to stick up for them. I don't think that he would risk his billions and millions on Michigan State making the tournament at that point. However, here we are. Michigan State's got a win over Indiana, which was a good win on the road. A win over number 5, Illinois. And now, just last night, a win over number 4, Ohio State. And all of a sudden, you look at Michigan State, they're starting to build a resume and it's getting fun again, Matt.
You know, I want so people understand just a little insight here. We are both on the same page and not believing this was a possibility, but it was, I feel like it was about a little more than a week ago. I don't remember what story I wrote.
Yeah, here we go.
And it had just suggested of what would have to happen for Michigan State to even think about the bubble. All right. There was no judgment in there whether it would happen or whether it was likely to happen. And somebody editing my story, somebody by the name of Tony Paul,
that was me.
Calls
was
me and says, "Do you really want to? Yeah. Do you really want to say this?" He wanted to change it. So I don't remember exactly, but you thought just the reference of the NCAA tournament was absurd. And to your credit, I agree with you. Yet I was simply stating that there was a path there. Now I put this out on Twitter last night. Who in the world, outside of Matt Ishbia or anyone in that locker room, would have believed that that path was a manageable one? I mean, of course the opportunity was there, but at no point had this team shown us anything that would think they could turn around, that they could find some offensive identity, that they could be in the position they're in now. So to say that we're at this spot just less than a week later, I don't think remarkable is too much to say, because this team doesn't resemble anything I've seen in the last couple months at all.
To be fair to myself, I read that, you know, because for those who don't know, I do writing, obviously the news, but I also do editing and do internet stuff and a little bit of everything. And I happened to be editing your story that day. This was before the Indiana game. And, I think the line was, it was something like, they'd have to go 500 at least over their final stretch to even have a chance to be in the discussion or something like that. And my point was, because again, we all thought what we thought, there was no chance here because of what we'd seen. I mean, yeah, they could, of course they could have run the table and made the NCAA tournament. The point was nobody saw how that would happen and that was what we asked Matt Ishbia when he was on and making all these, seemingly ridiculous statements about Michigan State's definitely going to make the tournament. And I think I asked the question, how, because there was yes, of course they could have won all their games and made the tournament, but the point that you just made is that we saw nothing to suggest. I mean, they lose by 30 to Iowa or whatever, you know, they're losing to good teams, bad teams, you know, we didn't see anything on the court that suggested that they were going to be able to turn this thing around. And so in fairness to me, when I was editing your story, I was looking out for you because I didn't want the Twitter thongs to come after you for even suggesting that MSU had a chance, because at the time there was no chance. I mean, nobody thought, other than, again, Matt Ishbia, who's just a genius, and maybe that's why he's a billionaire and good for him. But holy crap. I mean, here we are. And by the way, this all started from the time I bet the money line with Michigan State, Indiana, because I just felt like Indiana wasn't a great opponent. And I'm like, Izzo's got pride, obviously. We've seen them turn it on late in the seasons before. Now, never in this dire situation of trying to make the tournament. But so, by the way, I bet the money line on Michigan State each of the last three games. Coincidence? I don't know. But here we are. And Michigan State all of a sudden is in the mix. They're not in by any stretch of the imagination. They have work to do. But let's start first, Matt, with what in the hell changed with this?
Well, game? Clearly it was your betting strategy.
Other than that.
Oh, all right. Well, you know, the funny thing is, too, they're not in right now. And you look at some of the bracketologies, like Lenardi still has him as a first four out, which was
a massive jump because yeah. Lenardi does the first four out and the next four out. And Michigan State was off the board until
they were off the board. CBS, Jerry Palm has him in the first four. But you're almost to the point now where you'd be surprised if they don't, just based on what we've seen and based on the fact that the next two games, Maryland's won four in a row and playing as well as just about anybody, but you consider it's Maryland and Indiana team you just beat. You would expect to, if you win one of those games going into the two Michigan games, you're in pretty good shape. If you pull off a Michigan win, that's, I mean, three top fives.
Well, that does it. I think,
I mean, you're,
that has to,
at that point, you can stop thinking about first four and you can start saying, where are they an 11 or even a 10 if things get silly, you know, and what's their matchup. But how about this? How'd you like to be one of those, you know, say they get to be an 11 or a 10 or something like that, and you're the two seed in that region. Yeah. How'd you like to see that? I mean, Michigan State has just beaten two teams that are likely going to be on the one or two line. I'm not sure you want to see that, but how did Michigan State get here? I think there's a lot that goes into it. It's hard to point at one thing. Obviously, we can look at the move to the four guard lineup in the second half at Indiana when you went with, you know, Watts, Henry, Langford, Gabe Brown, and they've stuck with that really predominantly for the next couple of games here. And, you know, the production has varied from each guy, and Rocket Watts was not good last night at time, but he'd been so good for two games. I mean, he had one turnover over two games in about 63 minutes. You look at the way Gabe Brown came up in the Indiana game and then last night. I mean, he made some big shots last night when that game was on the verge of getting out of hand. You know, Josh Langford had a great defensive play after he turned it over, but a great block on Justin Arnes, and Gabe Brown came back down and hit a bucket. You went from a game that could have been an 11-point game or what, a double-digit game, and then Gabe Brown hits that jumper and out to 5-point game, and you're feeling totally differently. So I think that lineup change has been big. Guys like Gabe Brown and Rocket Watts stepping up their level of play that we haven't seen this year. And, you know, look, Aaron Henry's been Aaron Henry for a while, but in this last week, I mean, he's been everything you expected him to be over these last handful of games. And when you combine that with Josh Langford, look, Langford last night made two shots, but how important was he in that game?
There were two huge shots.
Right. And that shot he made with 30 seconds left, you know, right after Aaron Henry just made one from the, you know, a deep two like that. Those are shots that absolutely weren't coming early in the season. Think about that game at Iowa a couple weeks ago. Not the home game. Iowa. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They have a chance to tie the game in the last however many seconds, and Josh Langford has that shot to tie it, and it goes halfway down and pops out. Think about that to where he's come. It'd be easy for that guy to say the hell with this, but to see the way he's played, I mean, 16 rebounds the other night against Illinois, that was insane. Yeah. It's just a guy who's clearly saying, I don't know if I'm going to save this thing, but I'm not going out, not giving everything I got. And
no, I think that's the whole
shots. It's remarkable because you see these guys, you didn't change the guys, right?
Well,
they're suddenly making these clutch plays, and they're, you know, the turnovers are still a problem. They weren't so much against Illinois the other night, but they were last night.
Yeah, there was you
sit there and think, look at the way they put it against Illinois when they only had 8 turnovers, and they controlled that game the whole way. And right. Illinois is a legit top 5 team. Mm-hmm. You know, they were able to get by Ohio State and still turn it over. It's like, if these guys could take care of the ball, you can't really count them out in any game. The problem is you also can't count out a 30-point loss.
Right. The thing that you see, it's hard to – you just see the confidence growing, especially with Henry, who, you know, all season long, Michigan State's looking for someone to turn to. And we talked about this way back in November and December about how they didn't have the guy that could take over. But we thought at the time that the depth was so good, and then, they went, on just a total free fall. But you're seeing Henry – especially last night, but in several games now, where he just has the ball and he's looking to take over the game, and that's what they were missing that, and so you see the confidence growing. Last night's game was so fun. They tie the game at 40. You know, Chris Holtman gets the technical, and then Ohio State responds with 9 in a row to go up 49-40, and the game could have gone just completely over. At that point. I mean, Ohio State could have run away with it because this is a damn good Ohio State team. We saw that against Michigan. And Michigan State responded. It was just there's intangibles in all sports. But, with a team like Michigan State, maybe the talent level isn't what we thought it was. But you're starting to see a sense of pride for sure about what the program is and the responsibility that they have to – put the program's success on its back and try to live up to those that came before them. You're seeing that. That's what's going on here. I mean, there's a ton of pride, and now the confidence is building to go along with that. And it's a dangerous team. Like you said, if they were to get in and they were to be in a 10 or 11, that's a dangerous opponent for a second round team.
Yeah.
If they are a first round team, obviously, and so, we talk about it, Sunday at Maryland, Tuesday at Indiana, Thursday and March 7th, I think that's the following Tuesday or whatnot, at Michigan, then home against Michigan. But Lenardi, like you mentioned, he has it now on the first 4 out, which again, big jump, they're still out, but big jump. And he is by all accounts, one of the big experts, on this bracketology. But he's got Indiana as the last 4 in. So if Michigan State were to go beat Indiana again, you would think, given that Michigan State starting to build a resume here, you would think that those two teams would flip. Michigan State would be among the first final 4 in, and Indiana would be among the first 4 out. But Sunday's game against Maryland's big because you don't want to stop the momentum. At this point, you just don't want to give the NCAA tournament committee a reason. And then the two Michigan games, if you were to win one of those, you've now beaten number 3, number 4, number 5 in the country in the span of 2 weeks. And I have to look it up. I can't imagine that's happened many times in the history of college basketball in the regular season to do what they have a chance to do. So it's right there in front of them now. It's amazing. A week ago, no shot, and that was okay. 22 years is a long streak. You're going to eventually end the streak. And then here we are after 30 minutes of laughing in Matt Ishbia's face on the last podcast, and all of a sudden Michigan State and Tom Izzo are making us look foolish as they've done before.
Well, yeah. And a couple of things you mentioned about the pride and whatever, and I singled out some of these guards. The thing Tom Izzo said last night, again, is that they're getting something out of a lot of guys, and when you start to look at some of those bigs that have been much maligned and for good reason, you look at these last couple games, and every one of them's doing something at some point. They're not taking over games, but they're doing something important. And Marcus Bingham, the last couple games, is giving you some key minutes. He's had some good, you know, some good stretches here and there. Even Julius Marble has been solid. Thomas Kithier hasn't played a ton, and he's gotten all sorts of heat from this fan base and me too. But he came in the Indiana game, was the only guy who could defend Trayce Jackson-Davis. He came in last night, only played about 5 minutes, but got 3 offensive rebounds in that stretch. I mean, they're getting a lot from everybody on that roster. And it's all happening with Foster Lawyer as an assistant coach. Now, some people will tell you that's been an addition because they've been forced to go with that different kind of rotation at guard. You know, we can debate that all day, but it's clear they're getting something from everybody at this point. And now here's the, what's so, I'm trying to think of the right word to describe this Big Ten right now. It's so hard, and the opportunity is all there for a team to make up ground. But then you have the reality of you're going to Maryland against a team that is an NCAA tournament team right now and has won 4 in a row. Like, nothing gets easy at any point. You just beat 2 top 5 teams. Now you got to go on the road and beat a Maryland team, which has been beating everybody for the last couple of weeks. So,
but which is also a beatable team.
Right, they are. The same with when they went to Indiana last weekend. It was kind of the same feeling of, you know, Indiana's got some good wins, but it's not like they're, you know, world beaters. Same with Maryland. The point is, you can't, you've put yourself in this spot of having little to no margin for error. And we're going to see that over these next 2 games. You don't want to then go give away these 2 games. I don't say give away, but if you go and lose these next 2 games, you're not quite in the position you were before, but you kind of feel that way again, and with 2 games against Michigan left. So you want to take care of business, and you certainly want to do it in both these games. They win both these games, Maryland and Indiana, I think they're in, regardless what they do with Michigan. But you really want to win. You want to split them at the worst. Take your chances with Michigan, maybe get one of those. You do something like that, and the Big Ten tournament's just gravy. You're just
right. That was the debate last night on Twitter after the game. Is that, you know, all of a sudden, you know, it's funny because MSU has been just a complete afterthought in the grand sports universe for well over a month. Like, if people watch their games and they lose and no one cares, and if they win, great. It was probably against Nebraska. They haven't been in the spotlight nearly as much as what they normally would. Now they are. And so now the discussion really amped up last night over what they need to do. And if you look at these 4 games, I agree with you, a split they're in. Or they beat Michigan once, and I think it's awfully hard to keep them out. I mean, you look at their resume, you know, obviously not much to start the year. They happen to beat a Duke team that isn't a typical Duke team, still on the road, still a good win. They beat a Notre Dame team. They beat Rutgers. But now if you beat 3, 4, 5, I mean, it's awfully hard to keep them out. And I don't care what anyone says, the reputation matters. The streak matters. The NCAA committee can say it doesn't and say that we look at what's in front of them. BS. It matters. If it's a coin toss whether Michigan State is in or they're out, there's going to be no coin toss. They're going to be in. I mean, that's just reality. They also went 20 days off, and I think that COVID's going to be discussed a lot in that NCAA committee room as well. That affected a lot of teams, and Michigan State was affected more than many in the Big Ten, and came back and looked like a team that had not played or practiced in 20 days. And all of a sudden, you know, Izzo mentioned it to you guys the other day that these guys are just now getting healthy and strength back, and, you know, from having all that time off, in some cases having the virus. I think beat Michigan and you're in, split and you're in. I think the one where you need to win a Big Ten tournament game is if you go 1-3 and don't beat Michigan. And then I think you might have a little to do at the Big Ten tournament. But at least they're off that Wednesday line right now, which they've never been on at the Big Ten tournament. It's like Wednesday. Michigan State doesn't play Big Ten tournament games on Wednesday. They've never done
I usually don't even show up till Thursday morning.
Right?
Come on.
Yeah, so at least they're off that line now. Right now, if you look at the bracket, they would open against, I think, Maryland. And then if they win that game, that would be Michigan, which would be the third time they would play in basically a week, which would be incredible. You know, I say split with Michigan. Look, that Michigan team is so good.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the odds are against Michigan State winning one of those games. It's just, I mean, but, you know, it's a rivalry and Michigan State's playing pretty damn good. They're not playing. I don't think they're playing, you know, as good as they've ever played in the history of Michigan State basketball. You know, I mean, these games have been close. The Illinois game, they controlled from the beginning. The Ohio State game, you know, maybe they got a couple calls. I would argue that Ohio State got a couple calls in their favor. There were two whistles that were, I thought I was watching the game on tape delay. They were so late against Michigan State. So Holtman can go crazy, and he's lucky he didn't get booted from the game with 5 minutes to go. And the refs, I thought, showed extreme patience with his antics. But, you know, they didn't play the best that they can play yesterday, but they're finding ways to win. And right now, that's what they need to do.
Yeah, totally. I mean, they played much better against Illinois. And look, right. They played twice in 3 days. So,
right.
You know, I didn't expect Thursday's game was going to be a masterpiece. It certainly wasn't. Again, we've mentioned the turnovers ad nauseum, the fouling. They've got to stop fouling so much. I mean, teams are in the bonus halfway through the half.
Right. And you especially know, they got really unfortunate. Yes. I mean, that's a really good free throw shooting team.
Right.
Ohio State to the line a lot, you're usually going to lose pretty handily. So.
Yeah, and some of it is the way they got to defend some of these bigs, like against Illinois. That is what it is. But it's kind of more the, you know, some of the guards they struggle with. Dwayne Washington was getting past Rocket Watts a lot last night. You know, that wasn't happening. Certainly they defended Io pretty well on Tuesday. But those sort of fouls, they've got to start limiting. I mean, you played, what, 6-7 minutes of that first half without Aaron Henry and Josh Langford, and you can see a significant difference in that team when they're not out there. So those are things that need to get cleaned up. You know, but to say their turnaround has been remarkable, shocking, hard to predict, impossible to predict, I think is all fair. So we'll see where they go from now.
The Illinois game was eye-opening. Because they controlled that game. And people could say, oh, Illinois didn't show up. Well, you know, the bottom line is they're in the fifth-ranked team in the country. Yeah. They got a massive mountain of a man that you have to guard down low or just foul or whatever, but a huge challenge. And Michigan State controlled that game from the get-go, and that was the game. The Indiana game was a good win. Don't get me wrong. It's on the road. It sent a little bit of a statement that, hey, we still have a pulse, maybe not much of one, but we have a pulse. But the Illinois game, that's why going into the Ohio State game, that wasn't anywhere near as shocking because you could see Izzo change things up. I mean, he had nothing to lose. I mean, he had to do something. What he was doing wasn't working. It hasn't worked. And, you know, they're on a roll. It's fun. It's good to see Michigan State back in the discussion, just in the general world of sports, you know, especially in Michigan right now, in the state of Michigan, where there's not many good sports teams. You have Michigan basketball, and that's it. And so it's fun to see Michigan State kind of join the discussion again.
You know, the interesting thing I heard both nights post-game from Brad Underwood and from Chris Holtman, and some of this might be trying to take some of the sting from their own teams, but both of them referenced Michigan State. This is a team that was a top five team in the country at one point. And I don't care. And I, Chris Holtman said, or maybe it was Underwood, it doesn't matter, fans, man. When you come into this building, you know that you're not in for an easy night. You just know it. And knowing that still, Michigan State was able to pull these games out. It's like these teams understand, you know, a tough game.
Right.
And they know that Michigan State wasn't as bad as what we've seen. We just hadn't had any sign that that was going to turn around.
They were that bad.
They were. You're right. They were. But it was. You could understand that. You can see why they're looking and saying, "Look, these are the same guys that did win some games early in the year. You know, right. They've gone through some stuff. Whatever." But none of us expected it was going to come back together this year. I mean, there was just no sign of it. And here we are now. You're right. It is almost kind of refreshing to have something to talk about, care about, pay attention to. I mean, this wasn't what we were used to. And who knows where it ends or how it goes. They could lose every game the rest of the way and not make it. I don't think.
That's the thing. Like, it's, they're not in. I mean, right. I mean, we have some games to watch here, and like you said, Maryland's a tough opponent. They're beatable. I mean, they're very beatable.
Yeah. Michigan State's proving at this point that Yeah. Most, just about anybody in the Big Ten is beatable right now.
Oh, I look at through the Big Ten, and I see I see one elite team and a lot of good teams. I mean, Michigan is so far ahead of, you know, of where the other teams are. I mean, destroying great teams or perceived great teams on a regular basis, it's impressive. And Michigan State, you know, I don't expect them to win one of those two games, which is why I think that, you know, these next two are really important.
Yeah.
At Maryland and versus Indiana. If you win both those games, the NCAA committee is going to have an awfully hard time shutting you out. Your resume all of a sudden has some quality to it. It already does, but you win these next two and all of a sudden you're 500 in the Big Ten, which, you know, I mean, that's damn good. On an overall scale. Now, it was ugly getting to that point, watching them get blown out by, you know, watching them get blown out by Iowa, watching them lose to that terrible loss at Purdue, which kind of triggered a lot of this, which was the peak of the downfall, they lose to Northwestern. I mean,
that was a long time ago now.
Yeah, but they did. I mean, and that's a bad team, you know, it just
got killed by Minnesota.
Brutally killed by Minnesota, which is a team that obviously isn't great. The 30-point loss to Rutgers. I mean, you know, it's been ugly getting to this point. And so we're not to say that these wins erase that part of the resume. It still exists. Those games are on there, and they're ugly. And so that's why, it's going to take more than just one win in these four, unless that one win is against Michigan. And even then, I still think to be safe, you'd have to win. You'd want to win definitely a Big Ten tournament game.
Yeah. Five quad one wins now, I think it is. And that's more than a lot of people have out there.
Well, so. I think Ohio State has more quad one wins than anybody, right? They're pretty close.
Probably, yeah. I'm not looking at it right now.
I think during the Michigan game, I think they mentioned that. So that obviously is a huge win. It's just fun to talk about this, and, you know, in a sick way, I bet Izzo kind of likes this, you know, I honestly do. He's, you know, coaches are weird and they kind of thrive off negativity and adversity. And when everything's going too well, you know, you're just kind of, I mean, Sparky Anderson said that back in 84, when everything's going too well, you're just afraid, you know, that the roof is going to cave in, you know, all of a sudden. All season long, Sparky was stressed because of the start they got off to. And if they didn't win the World Series, oh my God, it was the biggest failure ever. So when things are going too good, sometimes, you know, it's more difficult than in this situation where it's you against the world. And knowing Izzo a little bit and, you know, him a lot more, in a sick way, I honestly think he's enjoying the hell out of this right now.
Probably, because he's pretty predictable in normal seasons. If they get on a win streak, you can count about four or five games into it when he's going to manufacture something to be mad about. You know, they can win a game by 25 and he comes into his post game rant and raving about, I don't know, somebody missing a switch in the 10 minutes into the game. You know, it's, so you're right. There is something to that. There's plenty for them to work on right now. So it's not like he has to manufacture anything. He's a pizza. I couldn't have guessed. You're right. It is. It's funny. I feel like I said a while back too, 8-12, 9-11, and this conference gets you in. I feel like I was scoffed at for that too. And if they win these next two games and still lose to Michigan, both of them, they'll be 9-11. And I don't see a 9-11 team from this conference not getting in, especially with the wins they have. I mean, well, if all now, their wins were against Nebraska non-conference games, okay, maybe. But they've added that element to the resume now. Will you throw that in with the Rutgers win? And if they beat Maryland, that'll be another good win. It's, you look at those quality of wins and it's just, it's hard to see them not getting in. But again, I just go back to, I don't know how the hell in a week's time it has shifted like this. I mean, we're sitting there watching it and you're seeing the guys play differently and you want to be able to say, well, here's why, but there's no real concrete reason why, other than they've just started playing better. You mentioned with the heart and the attitude and the pride, that there's something to that.
Well, there is, because nobody wants to be that team that people look back on that ended the streak. You know, I mean, think about the team in 90, what was it, 96, the last team that didn't make it or whatever, 97. You know, they, I'm sure they hate the fact that they were the last team that didn't make it. And this team, I'm sure, would be embarrassed if they were the first team in more than two decades that, that didn't make it. So, you know, sometimes when you talk about pride and heart, blah, 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 all athletes have that, okay? But in this situation, given the history and the expectation, I think that that is a more of a factor than it would normally be for a typical college basketball team. But
that made, yeah, that made me think a real quick story in 2014 when Michigan State lost to Connecticut in that regional final. That meant that group of seniors,
right?
Keith Appling, Adrian Payne, they were the first senior group not to make a Final Four. Mm-hmm. And I remember Appling in that Madison Square Garden locker room. The dude couldn't look up. I mean, he was crushed, and a lot of it was that. They had that riding on them, and they were a favorite going into the tournament that year. Everyone was healthy. Everyone was picking them to win, and they came up against a Connecticut team that couldn't miss a shot in the second half. But that's the kind of pride you're talking about.
Yeah.
They didn't want to be that group that let that thing go, and the same with these guys. They don't want to be that group that ended 22 years of this. It doesn't mean they're going to win the Big Ten. Doesn't mean they're going to make the Final Four. But there's something there to have some pride in, and they're just kind of not letting it go. You're seeing it, and it's been pretty impressive. We'll see where it ends. But at this point, honestly, you feel like you'd be more surprised if they don't just keep winning. Not that they're going to win every game the rest of the regular season here, but you'd be surprised if they're going into the last Michigan game thinking, oh, crap, we've lost three in a row.
Yeah.
We need to win one now.
But
it doesn't feel like that's coming in. So.
But they're you know, look, they're playing a Maryland team that would like to improve its resume. They're playing an Indiana team that's on the bubble, you know, and they're playing a Michigan team that is just looks unstoppable right now. So
yeah, that's real quick. That's the thing we got to always remember too. That team on the other side, they got a lot on the line too. I think that's what you saw Illinois Tuesday night, where both teams were just wanted to kill each other.
Right.
I mean, Illinois still had a shot at the Big Ten championship. They were only two behind Michigan, and Michigan State's playing for their lives. So you see that it's going to be the same, not so much with Maryland Sunday. I think they're solidly in, but Indiana, absolutely.
No, they're playing for their lives, and Michigan's playing for a one seed. And and that's a big deal. I mean, a one seed's a big deal. Ohio State was playing for a one seed. They probably lost their one seed last night. And so, you know, their chance at it, unless they go on, you know, win the Big Ten championship and who knows, but Sunday at Maryland, Tuesday at home against Indiana, Thursday at Michigan, March 7th, Tuesday, I guess, right?
Oh, it's Sunday. That's next Sunday, Phil.
Next Sunday?
Yeah.
Are they playing two times in 4 days?
Yes.
My goodness. Oh, jeez.
That's why this finish is so ridiculous. Not only is it good teams, but you're getting essentially no breaks. So.
Well, and another key here is no more 30-point losses. You know, I mean, there's enough of those on the docket, you know, on the resume. You know, be competitive. Win these first two games, win one of them, and give Michigan all holy hell, which you expect them to do anyway. You know, look, Michigan beat Michigan's elite Michigan State teams when they shouldn't have. I mean, that's what happens in rivalries, you know.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's not out of the question, but no more 30-point losses and win these first two. I mean, go get it. You know, they clearly are taking matters into their own hands. With these last three games, the momentum can't stop. These next two are probably more important than the Michigan games.
You're right. Now that you've put yourself in the spot, don't lose it now. But as Aaron Henry said so eloquently last night, you know, don't applaud a fish for swimming, which was hilarious. This guy's becoming a quote machine. His point was, we know how to win here.
Yeah.
You know, that's
what people forget. But, you know, in our defense and all due respect to Aaron Henry, I mean, you lost by a billion to Minnesota and Iowa, and you lost to Northwestern. And, I mean, you know, you barely beat Penn State. You barely beat Nebraska. I mean, all due respect, but you haven't been swimming. And so that's why no one was giving you guys a chance until now. The Illinois game didn't cause this kind of talk, even though Illinois was ranked 5. It's a good win. Now you've beaten another top 5 team consecutively. All of a sudden, here you are. Go get it. now it's right there for you. Because, yeah, 9-11 in the Big Ten is enough. That'll get you in. You beat Rutgers. You also beat Duke in the non-conference. You beat Notre Dame in the non-conference, which isn't – neither one of those wins are what they would normally be in a typical year, but they're not they're still good wins. And now you've put yourself in position in the Big Ten. 9-11 in the Big Ten with the wins that they have would certainly qualify without, you know, you don't want to get to the point where you're giving the committee a decision, and you don't want to get to the point, you don't want to end up at the point where you're giving the committee a chance to be roundly criticized by putting you in. Because everyone, you know, everyone will notice that Michigan State is in. And you don't want to give the committee a reason to want to avoid controversy by putting you in. That's why these next two are huge. You win these next two, 9-11, in most years would still be good enough. But this year with the state of the Big Ten, I mean, come on. I mean, that certainly qualifies you. But it's these next two games. Again, I think they're more important than Michigan. So we got to wrap it up. You got work to do.
If you get a chance, go check out the social media on Aaron Henry's fish statement. There's some – Michigan State and he are having some fun with it. So check if when you take a break from checking out the script state football helmets.
Oh yes,
they revealed that were supposed to be worn at Maryland before that game got postponed.
So why not the jersey? Why not the jersey?
I don't know. Like, I mean, it's probably easier to change. It's easier to put together a quick new helmet than
Nike. I mean, they got Nike. I mean, then Nike can put together some slick uniforms. I mean, if you're going to do the helmet, I don't understand why you wouldn't do the jersey.
Maybe they will next year.
Maybe they will. Yeah. Well, maybe they will this year. I mean, you know, I mean, they got time. You know, maybe they'll decide to do it. So, go ahead.
No, they might. Check out that. Yeah. That's pretty funny. And Aaron Henry, another one last night on Langford's shot. He says, "I call that 6 a.m. It's like every time I come in the morning, he's shooting that shot. So,
by the way, did you see the video?
God bless Aaron Henry.
You see the video about 30 minutes after the game? Gabe Brown is still in uniform, kind of practicing on the court
every night.
That's incredible. That's incredible. Yeah,
when you're at Michigan State games, it's like clockwork. A certain amount of time after the game, there he is back on the court shooting, and if you know Gabe, that's kind of how he operates. So
absolutely. All right. Yeah. Well, check out Matt's coverage of Michigan State basketball at DetroitNews.com. He's got fresh stories up already. He'll be talking to players and coaches later this afternoon ahead of Sunday's game against Maryland. And so check him out on Twitter at Matt Charbonneau. Check me out on Twitter, 2012-1984. Again, politics free for the most part on Twitter. So come back, join the party. Stay tuned. Obviously, all our coverage on DetroitNews.com, including Michigan basketball. James Hawkins has been all over that. That's going to become a very cool, big story. It already is. I mean, how good they are. So that's it for this episode of The Green Room. That's two in a week. We'll try to keep. We won't keep up at that level.
But
we wanted to touch base on Michigan State hoops, with where they are compared to where they were just a few days ago when we did our last podcast. So. We'll try to do these more as the postseason inches closer here and as March Madness gets in full swing. But for now, he's Matt Charbonneau, I'm Tony Paul, and we'll see you later.
See ya.